Grace to you and peace in the name of our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. It's funny how you can kind of date television shows these days by the phones that they use. You know, in years gone by, we would often look at TV shows and you could kind of tell by the styles of clothing or perhaps the cars that they were driving when a particular show had been filmed and where it was setting, its setting was. But nowadays, at least in these last 30 years or so, you can kind of tell when a show was made by the type of cell phones they used. For those folks who are really good with language, they might be able to tell when a show was made by the terms and the phrases that the people in the show use. Because, like cars and clothing and technology, language is always changing. For example, a phrase that has meaning in today's world that would not have been understood or used probably like 50 years ago or so is the phrase suicide by cop. It's an unfortunate phenomenon, but it's something that we have seen a lot of in recent years. In fact, so much so that it has spawned its own term. By definition, suicide by cop is a suicidal method in which a suicidal individual deliberately acts in a threatening way, provoking a lethal response from a law enforcement officer. Now, whether that should be legitimately defined as a suicide or not is another matter. But the point is that these folks push the police to an extreme where the police are then forced to employ lethal action. Why do I bring this up on Palm Sunday? Because this is exactly what Jesus did on that first Palm Sunday. This was the point of him making a spectacle of his entrance into Jerusalem. Now, he could have very easily slid into Jerusalem unnoticed. But he made a point to enter Jerusalem in a way that others would see him by riding in on a donkey, which was a symbol of Davidic royalty. And then allowing folks to honor him and crowds to form around him. And at the end of this spectacle, John noted in his gospel these words from the Pharisees. They said, "See, this is getting us nowhere. Look how the whole world has gone after him." For the past 3 years, Jesus had conducted his ministry almost entirely up north in the region and the regions around Galilee. He'd been up there preaching, healing, even raising the dead, outside of arm's reach from the Jewish authorities in Jerusalem. They, of course, knew of Jesus, and they were bothered by Jesus, but they did not feel extremely threatened by Jesus while he kept his distance. But then Jesus came down to Bethany, a town a mere 2 miles away from Jerusalem, figuratively speaking, in Jerusalem's backyard. And it was there that he raised Lazarus from the dead. And suddenly, the Pharisees and the chief priests were threatened by Jesus' ministry and by his message. They made a decision right then and there, at the urging of the high priest Caiaphas, that Jesus needed to die. And so they began to plot to take Jesus' life. But that's where the plan stalled, with the plotting phase. Partly because Jesus had withdrawn from public interaction following the Lazarus miracle. And partly, probably also because that's what church councils tend to do. A lot more plotting than actually producing. And thus, when the time was right, namely during the week of Passover, Jesus entered Jerusalem in a very public way to begin to force the issue, to move the ruling council of the Jews from mere talk to real action, from simply plotting his death to producing his death. Seems strange, doesn't it, that Jesus would act in such a way so as to push the Jewish authorities and to back them into a corner, forcing them to employ lethal force on him. It's almost as if Jesus was asking for it. I mean, had he really wanted to avoid execution, he could have just stayed up in Galilee. Maybe he had also been a little more thoughtful, a little more judicial with the when and the who and the where of his miracles. You know, had he just been a little bit less in your face with the Jewish authorities, he probably could have had a very long, maybe even lucrative, life and ministry up in Galilee and in the regions north and east of there. But from a purely practical perspective, Jesus' death was unnecessary. And it could have been easily avoided. But the Son of God did not humble himself to be made in human likeness and lower himself to take on the nature of a servant so as to avoid death, especially the death of a cross. He took on human flesh to fulfill a promise that God had made to Adam back at the beginning of time, a promise to save him from the curse and from the consequences of his sin. The Son of God became one of us specifically so that he could die on a cross as the payment for our sin. His death was the purpose of his life. For it is only through his death and resurrection that Adam and all of Adam's descendants, meaning you and me, have been forgiven of our sins and given the hope of life everlasting with God in his kingdom of heaven. And so, while it would be wrong to label Jesus' death as suicide by Jewish council, it is important to realize that Jesus kind of forced the hand of his antagonists to get them to finally do what they had already been plotting to do. You see, Jesus simply could not leave his death to chance. He could not leave his mission in the hands of sinful, fallible, indecisive people. He had to die. He had to pay for the sins of all humanity. He had to be God's sacrificial lamb. He had to do what he had come to do, to give his life as a ransom for many. To that end, he rode into Jerusalem on a donkey, on public display, to the praise of the crowds and the chagrin of the Pharisees, that they would have no choice but to kill the Son of God. Thanks be to God for the courage and the conviction of his Son Jesus. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Amen.